We're talking about those beloved plastic bricks, Denmark's most iconic export to the world. It's for the love of Lego on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. My first son, Oliver, was a big builder right out of the gate. And when his twin brothers were born, he would take his Lego bricks into our relatively spacious bathroom, close the door, build for hours on the cool tile floor. And if they didn't get cleaned up, I would walk across a sea of Legos to get to the toilet in the middle of the night. Very personal, very true. And a decade later, our Lego bricks have their own dedicated space in our home that is not the bathroom, thank goodness. What is your Lego coming-of-age story? Tell it, 800-642-1234. Caleb and Jacob Schilling were contestants on the recent season 2 of Fox's Lego Masters TV series. Coming in third place, 23-year-old twin brothers hailing from Holman, Wisconsin, just outside of La Crosse, and been creating with Lego for as long as they can remember. Caleb, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. And Jacob, welcome to you.
Good morning, also. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my goodness. I came across a picture of you two in the LA Times from 2011. The most adorable melt-a-mom's-heart picture. The two of you at age 12 holding twin trophies at the Lego Harry Potter Build-Off Championship. And then the caption, you had built a micro-scale Hogwarts in 45 minutes. And I thought, behind these sweetheart smiles are kids who can crush us in Lego building. Caleb, how did that LA moment, how did you fold that into your Lego passion story?
Oh, I mean, I think both Jacob and I thought we peaked at age 12, you know, especially within our Lego career. And Jacob and I are both huge Harry Potter and Lego fans, of course. And that was just that was such a fun journey for us. And little did we realize that was maybe just the beginning of something far crazier.
Jacob, what was that like for you going out there competing in LA and then getting the trophy?
It was a whole new experience for us. Like kids from Wisconsin, we're not used to the big city or like a live build off either for that matter. But it was a great experience. Got us a head start, I guess, in the competitive Lego building too, for that case. But coming out with a win for something that we really enjoyed, as Caleb said, we thought we peaked at 12.
So what is a live build-off? What goes into the whole competition realm of Lego? Caleb, can you start us off?
Yeah, the competition realm of Lego, if you will, is typically a bit more subdued than that setting. A lot of the competitions that take place within the Lego community are all virtual, remote, submit a photo to a forum, something like this. This specific contest was different in that it was hosted by both Warner Brothers and the Lego Group. And it was a multi-stage competition. The first stage being a community vote for the 50 top Harry Potter related models. The top four of those 50 would move on to a live build-off in LA, which was pretty crazy for, again, 12-year-old Jacob and I, our first time on a plane going out in front of what I recall being a rather large audience in this outdoor pavilion. It was quite wild. A Lego spokesperson is handing out $150 sets for free. It was crazy time.
Well, it's interesting how you crowdsource in this type of competition world. And Jacob, what you think that you've built is masterful may, to someone else's eye, be just, you know, all right, but, you know, something better could come out of it. Very, very subjective, I would imagine.
Yeah, certainly. There's a lot of different techniques and everything, or like different themes of Lego too. Some people prefer to build with like the technical ones and build more technical moving masterpieces. Other people build small detailed things. Others build massive creations, but they're all creative in their own way and look amazing in their own way. So
Well, we know Harry Potter has a special place in your heart, but Caleb, what do you lean to when you just want to build? What do you like to build?
Harry Potter is still the go-to, but I think on a broader scale, castle medieval has always been something that has captured my imagination, due in part just to the fact that Harry Potter, you know, takes place within a castle. But I've always been fascinated by knights, dragons, all those things. And that has always been a great go-to for me. You know, if I'm out of creative juice, can always build a castle. It's never going to let me down. There's a infinite number of ways to do a castle, I think. And there's still some castles that haven't been done yet. So I'm going to keep building those for quite some time.
We're talking with Caleb and Jacob Schilling, recent contestants on Lego Masters TV show, where they took third place, as we talk about the love of Lego building and your stories as well. Do you build? What do you love about piecing each brick together? When did you start building? And why do you keep doing it? 800-642-1234. So Jacob, you know, it's interesting that you're twins, and you know, I would imagine, like, my twin boys, one of them really loves Lego building, the other one, you know, builds from time to time but is certainly not passionate about it. Were the both of you in on this together, like, with equal passion, or did one of you have to pull the other along in this?
Early on, I would say we were definitely in it with equal passion. Then the Harry Potter contest hit, and I basically accepted I had peaked, and high school came around the corner, and I basically dropped out of the hobby. Only the pandemic and being stuck at home again with Caleb and all the Lego really got me back into it, and perfect preparation for the show. But yep, I had, as Lego fans call it, the dark ages, where I dropped out. Caleb's been passionate the whole time, going to all these conventions and stuff. So he's been carrying my weight while I've been gone.
Caleb, the dark ages. I love that reference. But for you, you just keep at it. What do you think? Why does Lego still appeal in adulthood?
There are just so many ways to enjoy this hobby. It's not simply just building. I know many people involved in the hobby who enjoy the collecting side of it. The minifigures, the lovable minifigures, are extremely collectible. But there's also a more investment side of it. I know people who resell Lego as their full-time job, both by sets, but also by individual parts and minifigures. There's just so many ways to get in, and especially with all the licensed themes that are now available, not only Harry Potter, but I know a big in for most people is Star Wars. Mm. There's so many ways to enjoy the hobby, and there's no right or wrong way. And so while I'm not always into building specifically, I love collecting as well. I love just the nerdier side of it too, you know, the history of it. So even when I'm not feeling up to building, there's still a lot I can get out of this hobby that very much entertains me.
What are some of your most prized minifigs? What are the minifigs do you really love in your collection?
My favorites outside of Harry Potter have to be the Lord of the Rings minifigures, which were only produced a few years. I think there was 3 years of Lord of the Rings minifigures back in about 2011. And
right when you peaked.
I know. Had to buy, and like, I didn't even get them all at the time, you know, because I was obviously on that huge Harry Potter phase. But I've got a good number of them, and they're just beautifully detailed. And Lord of the Rings is certainly just as timeless as some of the other themes that I've mentioned. But they go for a pretty penny these days, so they are quite important to me.
Caleb and Jacob Schilling from the La Crosse area, lifelong Lego enthusiasts, together one of our country's most talented Lego building teams. When did you start building? Why do you keep creating? What are your favorite creations? Do you or your child prefer to go freestyle with your Lego bricks? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Caleb and Jacob here on the Ideas Network. We are talking with the elite Lego brain trust hailing from Wisconsin on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. I read about a Lego artist in New York who quit her job to create with Lego for a living. The piece ran in Newsweek, describes how her Lego art evolved, like a Lego portrait of Abraham Lincoln and a Lego Marilyn Monroe portrait, all snatched up by galleries. Does creating with Lego give you peace of mind, or is it your escape? Have you taken to building during the pandemic? Share your greatest Lego builds, your stories, 800-642-1234. Jacob and Caleb Schilling are expert builders from Holman, contestants. They were on Lego Masters Season 2. They're with us for the hour. Okay, so Lego Masters and this TV series, final episode aired last September. Jacob, what made you want to try out for the show? What happened there?
So we had actually been recruited. We were asked if we wanted to join the show for season one, and we were unable to at the time, actually, because we were in college, and college was in person at that time, so it wasn't an option. Then season two came around, and they asked us again, and coincidentally, it was online. So we're like, this is the best opportunity we'll have to go, because we're online and afterwards we're going to be working after college. So we took the opportunity and went on the show.
Oh, wow. Caleb, pick up the story from there. So you two are recruited and you finally can do season two because, stars align and there's this time. So what was it like on the set?
It's crazy. At the time, I was studying video production for my college degree, and so it was the combination of my worlds at that point. Lego on a TV set. The show was filmed down around Atlanta, and going there in February of last year, as you can imagine, was wonderful compared to the Minnesota winter I otherwise would have been facing. And I know Jacob wasn't that much better off. And it just, the scale of everything blew our minds. It was not a small production. You know, this is primetime Fox television show. But the best part of the whole thing was by far meeting our fellow castmates, our competition. Instead of competition, even before the show started, we were quickly becoming new best friends with many of these people. That's the great thing about putting a bunch of, you know, like-minded individuals in the same room. Even if you're supposed to battle it out for some cash, you're probably still going to get along pretty well.
I would imagine, though, it's different because you're not just building Lego. You have to perform building Lego. The cameras are there. Everything is on. You have to have personality, and you just can't just hole up and just build something. What was that like for you, Jacob?
There's a lot going on. Yeah, you're building there for the first time with like five cameras staring directly at your face, at your build. You got to focus on the build because there's a timer too, so you got to worry about that. It's a lot more stressful than normal building, I will say, but it's also very fun, just because you get to be yourself too in those moments and build. You're building with a lot more bricks than we actually have at home. So there's a lot of things we can do with that too.
More resources at your disposal. Caleb, what did you learn from the experience about yourself?
Yeah, Lego Masters is not something for the faint of heart. I think we went in, you know, having certain expectations. You know, after seeing season one, we're like, oh, we can do this, and we can do very well at it. But there are so many external factors that you don't take into account, like the fact that we had to do school full time, in addition to, you know, being on set 16 to 18 hours a day, 6 days a week. And it was definitely the hardest thing we've ever done. It pushed us to our limits in many, many ways. It was so cool that when we left that set, we left loving Lego more than ever. We weren't burned out. We didn't. It was really all in all a positive experience. I think when it comes to what we learned, Jacob and I really were able to bond together for the first time, maybe since Jacob quit the hobby back in 2012. There was definitely a rocky patch at first where our ideas weren't gelling. But by the end, we were so in sync, and it was really, really cool to see that.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Caleb and Jacob Schilling, who are talking about their experience on Lego Masters TV show. They're from the La Crosse area, have been creating with Lego for as long as they can remember, and sharing your stories along the way, 800-642-1234. Peter is joining us from Green Bay. Hi, Peter. What would you like to bring up?
Hey, good morning. I have very fond memories. So, Caleb and Jacob, thank you. My brother and I love playing the oldest castle set from the late 80s. And I was wondering if you could bring back any of the old school designs, be it the castles or the pirates or the space, which would you bring back?
Oh, great question, Peter. Caleb, we'll start with you.
That is an awesome question. I know I always go on about how much I love castles, but my favorite of the great classic Lego themes has to be space. Not even just classic space, but so many of the other space themes that branched off from classic space, like Blacktron, M-tron, UFO, even Life on Mars, which isn't all that long ago. But there was so much creativity within those themes that I'd love to see that return to Lego.
Jacob, what would you bring back?
Well, Caleb didn't say it, surprisingly, but I will actually have to go with all the castle themes. Kind of like that, they do have a lot of different spin-offs, same idea, but different looks on the castles and everything. So it just, we need more castles in Lego besides Harry Potter. Sorry.
I don't want to bring some tension in here. Well, we heard from Valerie in Madison and brings up something really interesting. Wants to know if there's some kind of crossover going on in the brain between Lego and playing chess, both requiring visualizing many moves ahead to be a champion. Caleb, do you see any crossover there?
I think there definitely is for some people. But Jacob and I are not the type of people to perhaps think ahead. And Jacob, you can correct me if I'm wrong. But our favorite strategy on Lego Masters especially was that of winging it. And surprisingly, it worked shockingly well for us. But our whole philosophy going into the show was to go at it like two kids having fun together again in the basement. You know, create stories on the fly that were wild and whimsical. And sometimes not a lot of planning went into that. And I think both ways are okay.
Let's go to Doug in Madison with a question. Hi, Doug.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What would you like to bring up?
I just had a question and a comment too. So during the pandemic, I got into my, I guess I'm 41. So I got into some of my old sets and trying to put them back together. But I had to watch, like, some YouTube videos on slow-mo because I'd lost all my instruction manuals and, like, my old monorail sets and some of the Space Police sets. And then I also had some, like, castle sets you're talking about, but I'm definitely missing, like, the floorboard for some of them, if you know what I mean. They're, like, special shapes. And I was just wondering if there are some advice in terms of getting old instruction manuals and or pieces or parts of sets that I'm missing. So,
great. Yes, Jacob, go ahead.
Yeah, so there is actually sites, like fan-run sites, where there will be vendors for those like missing parts where you can buy individual pieces. I believe BrickLink is probably the best one. Caleb, you can correct me if I'm wrong. And then also a lot of these sites, BrickSet would have like instruction manuals, just online PDF versions of a lot of the older sets too. So you don't have to go on like eBay or something and buy a physical manual, which I believe older instruction manuals also do get quite expensive because a lot of people do try to resell those.
And that, I think, brings up something interesting as well, is how do you do Lego on a budget? Because these sets can be so expensive, Caleb.
Yeah, that is something, as I work my way into adulthood and married life, that I have definitely had to come to terms with. You know, there is an allotted Lego budget each month. And, you know, it hurts. It hurts sometimes. But being strategic about what you want, and this is where the planning, I guess, would come in. You do have to plan ahead for the kits. You know, I know there's a new wave of Harry Potter kits being released on March 1st, so I'm going to be setting aside some funds so I can go crazy when they drop. There are great ways to do it. I've had pretty good luck at garage sales in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook Marketplace, there are options. So you just got to be creative, look around. Buying off the shelf from Walmart might not be the most economical option.
Caleb and Jacob Schilling will pick this up after a news update on the Ideas Network. You are with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A quick programming heads up for you. Be sure to join us for special programming Monday, Martin Luther King Jr. Day. We have two broadcasts in store. At noon, you can hear a rebroadcast of the 2021 official Wisconsin Celebration and Tribute, hosted by WPR's Dr. Jonathan Overby. Then at 8 in the evening, it's a special MLK Day edition of Why Race Matters, hosted by Angela Fitzgerald of PBS Wisconsin. Find out more at WPR.org. Now it is For the Love of Lego, the iconic bricks that we store in tubs, that we step on and yelp, that we hope to never suck up in the vacuum, but it happens from time to time. A Lego group presentation states that it sells 70 billion bricks a year in 130 countries, and it's aiming to use only sustainable materials in its core products and packaging by 2030. Join in on Lego building the bricks in your life, 800-642-1234. Caleb and Jacob Schilling, elite Lego builders from Holman, with us for the hour. Let's bring in Ron now in La Crosse. Hi, Ron.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well. What would you like to add?
Well, I've been very impressed by the Lego display every year down at the La Crosse Center at the Model Train Show. And I look forward to seeing that Lego display maybe more elaborate than in the past. The 29th of this month at the La Crosse Center with the model trains, it's quite impressive.
Wow, so there, alongside the model trains is a Lego display. I haven't seen it. Can you kind of paint us a picture here?
Well, they've got an area of maybe 100 square feet, Legos, a Lego train made out of Legos.
Oh, cool.
And that causes me to ask, it seems like if they can have a model train made out of Legos that really moves, you know, and does some things that model trains do. Is Legos going into Legos robotics? Is there such a thing?
Well, Ron, thank you for that. Caleb and Jacob, first of all, do you know about this train display?
Yeah, Jacob and I actually have attended that in the past. That's awesome that it's still going. That makes me really happy.
That is really neat. And Ron also wanted to know about the moving parts and the mechanics of Lego and where that is headed. Any thoughts there?
Yeah, so there's a lot of Legos. They have actually released full train kits and stuff with like working motors and tracks that will work for that. And then specifically, they do have a lot of things designed towards robotics and increasing STEM abilities. So there's sets called Mindstorm, where it's like you program your own robot. There's motors and sensors included to adapt and make it work like a pretty functioning robot. There's a lot of movable things, and there's the Technic line also, which is good for making those moving creations or things that have a lot of technical parts and aspects to them.
I think I'm attracted to the opposite. I love the architecture series, seeing the Taj Mahal, Trafalgar Square in London. You know, those iconic buildings to me are so fascinating. What do you think about architecture, Caleb?
Architecture is definitely my language too. I've done a lot of replicas in the past. Probably my most recent architectural replica is the Schloss Drachenberg, which is a German castle.
Of course it's a castle.
Yes, it had to be. Especially since Lego creates so many small pieces, it's great for capturing those ornate details that you would find on some of those buildings.
Oh, I love that. Let's go to Emily in West Bend. Hi, Emily.
Hello. First of all, thank you for having this program. I'm an unofficial master Lego builder. My husband and myself both are. And so it's always nice to hear us getting some PR. Second thing, I just wanted to say, we are so happy that the Lego shows are back, because one of our favorite things is to be out there in along with other people that love to build and who are just excited to see Lego. And we are so excited for this coming weekend, because we will be at the Abbey Resort in Lake Geneva with our Lego display. We are doing a show there, and it is our first show there in a number of years. So we would love to see everybody who's a Lego enthusiast in the area show up and have a good time with us.
Oh, Emily, what are you displaying? Describe it.
Well, my husband and I work together on a Harry Potter Lego display that is...
with consultation from Caleb, FYI, but no, carry on.
We have 10 banquet tables that we put together for an all-encompassing environment. We have collected all of the classic sets, and we are working on collecting all the new sets, and then we're also free builders as well. So we have things like a working, moving Quidditch pitch all made out of Lego.
Wow. Wow. I think I know what Caleb is doing this weekend. Caleb?
You wouldn't have happened to have been at Brickworld Milwaukee last year, were you?
I was going to say, yes, we were there.
That's
we all
awesome.
Had a blast there.
Very cool.
I'd love to hear that. Emily, thank you so much for calling in. It sounds like Emily is saying that, you know, Lego shows are back. Community is back, which is so important, I would imagine, Caleb, in really, you know, getting the creativity and the spark and the camaraderie that happens around building.
Lego shows are the single best part of the hobby. Thinking about them gets me giddy. My Lego building career really kicked off when I attended my first convention, Brickworld Chicago, in 2013. You get 1,000 Lego fans together. They bring their creations. We have seminars, presentations. I remember attending a workshop on how to sort better. All just crazy, very in-depth parts of the hobby. And then the event opens up to the public, where anybody can come in and see all the crazy things we've built. And it's so inspirational. It's so much fun. There's so much stuff to buy. It's an absolutely wonderful time. And it's great to see them start to come back. I've been to a handful in the past year now. Hoping to hit up a lot more in 2022.
Well, Jacob, you know, I just heard the word sort, and I really think we need a doctoral level dissertation on how do you organize Lego? I mean, how do you keep the pieces and parts together and then, you know, find the things that you need?
This is a great question for me, because I am the known unsorter and Caleb's stuck with the sorting. But... It mainly what it is just finding lots of little storage containers, like drawers. We use a lot of shoe boxes too, to like just hold larger quantities, but it's usually by piece is going to be the thing, the different designs of the pieces. And if there's a lot of that piece, you can start breaking it down by color, into like groups of colors, or like the really small little one by ones. We have each of those sorted individually by color, because they don't take up much space. But yeah, it's just mainly by piece or like theme of the piece, like different accessories, minifig torsos or anything like that. But Caleb did all the sorting work for us. I threw a few pieces in.
Well, Caleb, Master Sorter, give us some tips. What is your advice?
Sorting is a beast. There's no doubt about it.
You know, that is the title of your memoir, Sorting is a Beast, by Caleb Schilling, Volume 1.
I could totally see that.
I could totally see that. That is the name of it. Yeah. Okay, carry on.
We did it. But I spend probably about 50% of my Lego time dedicated to the organizational aspect of it, because you have kids, you know how sprawling it can get very quickly. An organization becomes a necessity at some point. I was going to say Jacob and I, but when I started sorting, the method I went with was by element type. But the other way to do it is by color. You put all your tan pieces together, you put all your red pieces together, and both are equally valid. But there comes a point when your collection is just too large and you have to start breaking it down by element type. The greatest resources for me in the battle that has been sorting have been nail and like bolt drawers from Menards. They're great for those smaller elements, but also the Dollar Tree has a number of very affordable options for housing your Lego in a very clean and also very uniform mm-hmm. looking way, because I can always go and get that gallon tote from the Dollar Tree for $1.25. It'll be there till the end of time. So, yes, I'm very passionate about sorting, and I could go on and on, but I need to stop.
And what do you do with your manuals? Do you keep them in alphabetical order? I mean, we have manuals kind of strewn under the couch. You'll find one. They're a little bit ripped and dog-eared. What do you do with your manuals?
I think manuals have become a little less important to me, okay. You know, as we've branched off into more almost exclusively mock building, that is creating our own creations out of Lego. I do hang on to the manuals, mostly for sentimental value, especially from some of my childhood sets, but also some of them are worth a good deal of money. It might be an easy way to get more Lego funds into the budget, just because some of the classic manuals they don't make manuals the way they used to. Some of the older ones are much more ornate, and people really enjoy those, collectors enjoy those, but yeah, so they are stored for the most part. Some of them are not in great shape, but most of them are still around.
Caleb and Jacob Schilling, recent contestants on Fox's Lego Masters TV series, second season, third place. Parents, do you sit down and build with your kids? Why do you encourage your kids to build with Lego? Have you found Lego set prices out of reach? Do you build with Lego at your local library? How do you make Lego building opportunities open to all kids? Still time, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. There was one very special Lego build that I participated in with my family, and I think it was back in maybe 2015, the Lego Wall-E. I think this model of Wall-E is so realistic and authentic to the adorable robot Wall-E in the Pixar movie. And I read the manual. It took them 10 years to come up with this Lego Wall-E. Have you built Wall-E? What build will you always remember? Still time, 800-642-1234. Caleb and Jacob Schilling, lifelong builders, recent contestants on Lego Masters, with us for 10 more minutes. Shannon is joining us from Lake Geneva. Hi, Shannon.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What would you like to add?
I watched Caleb and Jacob compete on the show this year. I just kind of stumbled on it, and it was really, really fun to watch. And I'm a twin, too, so that was just kind of a fun thing for us to watch as a family. I just wanted to say I never got super into Legos as a kid, but I have two young boys now, And they're at a really young age. They're 1.5 and 3, and they both are already really, really interested in building. And I came from a family of only girls, only sisters. And so, you know, as I look for activities that are fun to do with the boys that I also enjoy, Lego has really become one of those things.
Oh, that's a great story, Shannon. Appreciate it. Caleb, you know, what would you say there to Shannon, who has that 1 and 3 year old and does see that spark of building in them?
That is, first of all, so awesome. I mean, just having a creative outlet through Lego when Jacob and I were really young was so huge for us. I know they are really young. It's a little scary to maybe give them those really, really small bricks, but there is a line of Lego called Duplo, which is 4 times as large. And those pieces you can't swallow no matter how hard you try. And that might be a great way to get them started out with building. It's super fun, super easy, and super safe, but encourages so much creativity.
Oh, I love those Duplo builds. Shannon, thank you for that. Michael now in Manitowoc. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just wanting to promote. There's a First Lego League in Manitowoc that works with children like kindergartners on up into middle school as competitions and things for working with Legos, and then they work them on in, up into robotics.
Mm-hmm. How has this league been doing, especially in the pandemic? What's going on with it?
I'm first year in the robotics part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been there like, I believe 13 years. I guess they've been doing pretty good with that. They have a building in Manitowoc donated by Jagerman that they can work with. And they have they work with like last year's competition, got them into transportation and how to do things that way. They build little models with all kinds of transportation equipment and things.
Well, Michael, thank you for that. Jacob, these Lego leagues, do you know of them?
Yeah, so Lego leagues, First Lego League, has something that's really started to take off in the years because it's promoting a lot of STEM and stuff like that, which has been an increasingly popular thing to do. It works hand in hand with the First League, which is like actual metalworking, robotics, and fabricating. So First Lego League is a great transition into that for its very simple tools and stuff like that. And every year, the First Lego League will tend to address a problem. Like one year, it was about clean water and waterworks. Last year, as you said, was about transportation. So it gets the kids to also increase their STEM skills, but also work to solve a problem or learn about a problem. Because as part of the league too, I believe they're supposed to present a presentation about that certain issue to the judges as well. So it's just a great learning opportunity in many ways for kids.
Great STEM opportunity there. Caleb, I know you're really interested in the business of Lego as well. And, you know, Lego really having to come to grips with how to be sustainable. Like every company really has to think about these hard things and how to make sure that they are welcoming and bringing girls into the fold. When you look at these really big issues, what comes up for you? What do you see?
Lego, especially within the past decade, has changed and diversified so much. It's been really cool to see all these new themes that are universally appealing. I think the Friends line, which was specifically targeted at young girls, has proven extraordinarily successful. And it's really cool to see that what was once considered almost exclusively a boy's toy is a toy for anybody. It's a toy for even adults. It doesn't matter your age or gender anymore. There is a Lego product for you. And I'm glad to see that inclusivity. When it comes to being more environmentally friendly too, Lego is making big strides in the right direction there. Obviously you get a bad rap from the start when you're a company that creates plastic bricks. Mm-hmm. We're in a world where plastic is not doing a whole lot of good for it. But just this year, Lego is introducing paper bags to within the packaging. Instead of the plastic ones that we're used to ripping open, but they're now going to be recyclable paper. But they've also started creating the bricks from a type of sugar cane instead of oil, which is cool to see. And beyond like maybe a weirder smell, there is no discernible difference from the bricks. So it's really cool to see the creativity within the company itself as they find new solutions to these rather complex problems.
And it's really interesting as well that there really aren't generics. There really aren't knockoffs out there that are trying to compete against the Lego. I think that's really interesting. How has it been able to fend off generic duplicates or copycats so effectively?
I think the big reason is their licenses. Lego exclusively owns the right to make Star Wars building toys. And it's hard for up-and-coming companies to compete with that. The only real competitor would be Mega Constructs, which is another knockoff theme. But it owns some of the gaming licenses. Halo is one they've been doing for years. And that's like, because Lego doesn't own that license. It was up for grabs for somebody else. But I do believe the quality of Lego bricks is the best. Mm-hmm. And that's why I choose to buy the product. There is something about the look, the feel, the way they attach together that I think blows the competition out of the water. And because they build, because Lego makes that superior product, they have stayed on top.
Well, we only have a few seconds left, but I want to ask each of you, Jacob, you first, you didn't hang it up at age 12. What does the future hold for you with building? What do you want to do?
First, I'm going to have to start amassing my own Lego collection because Caleb took it all with him when he moved to Minnesota. So got to start at square one, I guess. But I'm going to be planning on going to a lot of conventions now with Caleb. Initially, probably he dragged me along, but I think I'm willing to go by myself. I got renewed in the hobby after building 144 hours on the show. That's a lot of it. And it's like, I'm ready to do this again.
Caleb, how about you?
Yeah, I'm going to keep doing what I've always done. Build castles for sure. Sort for sure. Obviously, the Lego Masters has opened up so many opportunities for Jacob and I. And new doors are opening all the time. So I'm very excited and curious to see what the future of Lego might be for me.
Oh, thank you both for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Caleb and Jacob Schilling, recent contestants on the Lego Masters TV show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.